hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock hour. Cofield and Company, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar on a massive sports weekend. By the way, next week, real big as well, Breeders' Cup. So big events going on down here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We were talking to Tony Neville, the book director, a few minutes ago. We got VGK, early start. Nevada Day. By the way, Danny, I appreciate you doing the show today. We have to be on today, right?
Absolutely.
Nevada Day. We'll take a comp day another day, right? Too many sports going on. Raiders, Chiefs coming up. And, of course, just down the road from here, UNLV and Boise State. And we just did a World Series spot talking to Danielle McCartan from WFAN in New York. She's clearly a Yankees fan trying to get after Dodgers fans, but her heart wasn't in. She knows. Both fan bases are pretty badass. They're into it. They're super intense, and they have high expectations.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't win, you're bums.
Yeah, those are...
A little too strong, but you're bums.
Those are the two cities where if your teams don't perform, you're going to get eaten alive.
We're here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We're live every Friday, 3 until 6, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Danny and Jared get you for the get you ready for the college football and NFL weekend. They've got a 9, 8, 11 a show. And, of course, breakfast bites, good meals, like that breakfast sandwich. And I want to make sure the menu still has it. Let's do it. Yeah, the chicken chilaquiles, one of my favorites.
Oh, they're phenomenal.
Are they? Have you tried them?
Had them a couple weeks ago.
I said my favorite, and I'm like, are they good? I've had them.
Every Saturday after the show, I get a new item.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So where do you go lunch? Where do you go on the lunch menu, the dinner menu?
So the first one I did was the...
Could he be another chicken salad sandwich, devotee?
I have not tried that.
Jed and Salerno are all over it. And when Jed... If Jed's excited about something, you can't really tell, but like I think he smiled and he said, yum.
That's about, I know, right?
He is a robot. Yeah, he's not a high and low guy, but he likes the chicken salad sandwich.
I figured if it's like over the moon excitement, it's just, that's good.
He ate the whole thing. Wow, you like that. Oh, yeah. Or you're right. That's good.
I went with the Reuben the first time. It was good. Delicious.
Can't fail with a Reuben, but the Reuben here is very good. All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
That got me thinking about food. You're thinking about food.
Always.
I was on vacation last week. I had a lamb pastrami. I thought that was pretty creative. I had a Reuben lamb, but with lamb pastrami. So, interesting.
Sounds phenomenal.
Apparently, the NFL is going on a one food track right now. Football players are going crazy. I had seen this in the season. Is the number one snack in all the NFL the PBJ? Do they have a certain brand they like? We'll give them the pop.
Yeah, we'll do it. Uncrustables. Apparently, that is their go-to. Not a fan?
When did those come around?
I had them back in high school, so at least 15 years ago.
I don't really think I've ever purchased them or been around anyone who purchased them, but I guess it's like a super quick snack, and NFL folks love it.
Yeah, it's great. It pre-made PB&J. I mean, if you like it, but you don't want to go through the hassle, if you're like real quick on the go, just grab it and go.
Wither Ramirez was bragging about making his own in the air fryer, and I tried it once, and I'm like, this is crap. Not because of the meal itself. I didn't cook it correctly.
Okay.
So sometimes you just got to let the pros do it, and if, whoever it is.
Where did you go wrong making a PB&J?
Making it into a... Uncrustable type.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just didn't work.
I'm big on PB&J, and I saw this article. NFL teams go through at least 80,000 Uncrustables a year.
Wait a second. What?
That's an insane number. I did the math. It comes out to roughly 3.5 Uncrustables per player per day.
No.
Yeah.
What is this, the Wilt Chamberlain of freaking snacks?
It's insane.
That doesn't add up to me.
According to this article, the Denver Broncos go through 700 a week. That's 100 a day.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then you got to think there are some players who were like, I got a peanut allergy.
Right.
They're out.
Yep.
So you got some guys down in 10 of these freaking PB&J sandwiches.
Some people just don't like peanut butter in general. Yeah. I mean, it's insane. The most PB&J sandwiches I've ever eaten in a day is probably 3 or 4.
Griffin, are you one of these lunatics with the peanut butter and jelly?
I was about to say, you know, you do know, Cofield, you know a lover of the Uncrustables, the PB&Js. PB&Js are a staple in the college ranks as well. I can't recall the last time I went through a training camp and we didn't just get served endless amounts of Uncrustables. To this day, I ate them so much you would think I was sick of them. No, to this day, I do not step inside a Costco without leaving with some Uncrustables.
Big PB&J, just like Big Chicken, Big Tobacco. I do have to ask this one. I think the number one reason I don't, because we always have peanut butter and jelly in the house, I think a lot of it's laziness. I think I get frustrated because it's a very delicate technique. I'm not talking about the pre-made ones. I guess that's why they're that popular.
Right.
I'm just ripping apart the bread. You know, you got to. It's an art.
Yeah,
it's an art. And then you might overdo it with the jelly.
Yeah,
you can overdo it with the peanut butter.
Depends on what kind of peanut butter you have. If it's too thick, it can be hard to spread it.
That's a budget thing for me. The more I'm thinking about it, we don't buy bread anymore. I don't want to have too much bread. I'm trying to, you know, stay under 500 pounds. And two, it's just, I mean, I don't know. What's the right bread? What are you going to do? You have to go fancy bread now with the PB&J? You go ciabatta?
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
Gotcha.
I go store bread.
Really?
You just go
some white bread?
Oh, yeah. Give me a store brand. I'm good to go.
How delicate is your touch? You don't shred the bread?
Nah.
Wow, you're an artiste. I had no idea.
One of the, just with Uncrustables real quick, one very underrated one, Nutella. Nutella Uncrustables, really good.
Well, if I try it, I'm going to try the Smiths. We're going to give it all these free mentions. I'm going to try the Smiths off brand. Number three. I mean, I seriously don't care that much about the specifics of this lawsuit with a former Clippers trainer who was at San Diego State, was a personal trainer with Kawhi Leonard. Well, this guy, Shelton, is going after the Clippers legally. I think the overarching story here is this is going to be another split with Kawhi and a team. And it's weird. I don't know what happened in Toronto if he just wasn't there long enough for the warts on Kawhi to rise to the surface. But this feels like the Spurs all over again. Just arguing, philosophical differences, sitting out games. They're not treating me right with my injuries. Team Kawhi isn't happy. Is this the end of his career?
I think it could be, especially if, I mean, he's had this injury bug and everybody was excited to finally see him healthy. They got that brand new arena down in L.A., Intuit Dome, that they just opened up the other night with a loss, unfortunately. But I think a lot of Clippers fans, and, I mean, we could always ask a friend of the show, John Von Tobel, are they getting tired of it? Like, yes, he's a great player when he's available, but that's the problem, the availability. Could it be coming to an end with him?
Number two. 4 o'clock hour every day on Cofield & Company. On in Reno and around the Las Vegas Valley. Brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number of offices in Summerlin and downtown Vegas and Henderson and, of course, Northern Nevada in Reno. Tua is cleared. He is going to play. Should he? I saw him talking about, you know, this is a personal choice. Are either Danny or Griffin clutching their pearls over Tua going out there and taking the risk? What do you think, Griff?
The fact that he refuses to put on that guardian cap is really frustrating. He's the biggest threat. He's basically the face of concussion fears in the NFL, and the kid refuses to put on that guardian cap, quote-unquote, because of personal reasons. If it doesn't look good, whatever, but I don't know. If he plays, I just hope he's healthy, man.
Yeah, I'm right there. Like, you need to wear, at this point in your career, with the amount of head injuries that you've gotten, he needs to go every avenue to be able to protect his head. I mean, he took martial arts classes to learn how to fall to protect his head, and now he's not going to wear the guardian cap? Like, come on. You need to do everything you can to protect yourself, make yourself healthy, if not for your NFL days, for after your career when you're still getting older so that your brain doesn't go to mush.
Is it fair for him to say, hey, we seem to be overreacting to football concussions when we don't do so with NHL and combat sport concussions?
No. Like, you got to overreact because, especially comparing combat sports to NFL, combat sports, if you're a fighter, you fight, what, maybe 4 times to 5 times a year? And 5 is a lot? Whereas NFL, you're playing 17 times within 18 weeks. And you're constantly getting hit every single play.
He can do what he wants.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree with Griffin. I think he should wear the Guardian cap. But if he doesn't want to do it, then don't do it, brother. And they're coming up this weekend in a game against the Cardinals, which we'll get to a little later on, see if Danny's got a lean or like on that one. Top story.
Number one.
All you need to know about where the Chiefs and Raiders organizations are right now, because they're at opposite ends of the spectrum, is that the Raiders are just trying to get things going in the right direction, trying to find some kind of decent quarterback play, play complete games defensively. And on the other side, the Chiefs are like, we need to get motivated, so we're going to put the Mahomes rules by Antonio Pierce comment up on the bulletin board. And if we see a G-damn puppet, Patrick Mahomes in the stadium, we're going into the stands. Like, that's how good things are in Kansas City. And reality is, they're 6-0, but they're not, like, things aren't that great. They have a lot to work on, but it is funny that those are two of the angles going into this weekend. It's pretty freaking absurd. Because, one, Antonio Pierce basically said something obvious. Like, you have to intimidate and try to freaking really ruffle the feathers, play on the edge against Mahomes. What is wrong with that?
I wonder.
You have to play. Michael Jordan was the best of his era.
Yes.
You had it just like the Pistons. That was his reference. The Pistons beat the crap out of him, tried to throw him off the game.
Yeah.
Clearly, Patrick Mahomes has the league wrapped around his finger if he's allowed to go to the sidelines, tippy toe, and everyone's like, what do you want to do, Pat? Okay. Oh, you're going to run? Okay, we'll let you go. Like, people do have to get more physical with him, and I think the refs are going to have to adjust to it. Otherwise, this is absurd football we're playing around Patrick Mahomes. He's good, but now if you're going to not tackle the guy, not blast him, what are we doing?
Yeah, you do have to get into his head, and we even saw that I believe it was in the quarterbacks documentary where we saw Max Crosby, they're jawing, and he goes up and gives him a tap after the play and all that stuff, and Mahomes doesn't like it. You got to get into his head, but you also have to play within limits. And I'm curious, after what Antonio Pierce said, you got the Mahomes rules, all that stuff, how close is the league going to be watching this game and both of the matchups this year for any after-the-play stuff or unnecessary roughness against Mahomes, especially after a head coach already came out and talked about it?
Yeah, I don't know how guys keep it together on the sidelines. You know, like in the case of Antonio Pierce, if I feel like I'm so anti-establishment that if I were a coach and I felt like the league was favoring another player, you can't do a bounty, but I would have no problem with like 9 of my defensive players getting ejected and then just walking off the field and going, are we going to play football or not? Does this guy need to be out there in a bubble? Is he the one who gets special rules? Stupid. So I hope they're rough with him. I'm not saying knock him out of the game, but you know, if it happens, it happens. But that sideline nonsense can not happen. You know, the kind of fake slides cannot allow that. All right, we got first pitch of the World Series coming up. Lots of football talk this hour, including more UNLV talk and plenty of football picks around 4:45.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
People fired up down here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. A lot of Dodger fans. Clearly, we're close to L.A. and a lot of L.A. transplants here. They're doing a tribute and remembrance to Fernando Valenzuela, who unfortunately passed away just a couple days ago. And do you believe in the motivational stuff with series like this? A little extra on the side of one team or the other?
Not really.
I don't know if I do either, but as a Yankee fan, I'm kind of feeling Fernando a little bit and like, maybe the Dodgers have a little extra drive here.
Would that help for a whole series, or is that kind of like an opening game type
quick punch
of deal?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Yankees couldn't close out the World Series after 9/11. They caught a couple of bad breaks, but they didn't win that one. The D-backs did, which really at the time, when you think back to it, the D-backs, maybe that was a message from the heavens that sometimes evil wins out. Come on, Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling.
Some people would say the same thing about the Yankees.
Of course they would. They say it all the time. That's why I'm flipping the script and saying the D-backs were evil. But yeah,
that was
a
good series.
We had it was a good series. Yeah, Paul Gutierrez, who went to UNLV, and by the way, Fernando had a tie to UNLV because his son played for UNLV baseball, so yep. Fernando was here all the time, and he had told a story. Paul, Mexican-American, he had told a story as a guy from Barstow, and he had written a lot of stories about Fernando that, you know, there was a time that a lot of Latinos and especially Mexican-Americans were really kind of mad at the Dodgers because they got displaced in that Chavez Ravine neighborhood to build a stadium, you know, years before that, and a lot of them weren't going to root for the Dodgers, and then this dude comes up, you know, 19 years old and gets out of the gates at like 9-0 with nine complete games, whatever it was, and he's a hero, and they were like,
yeah, there's that connection.
We'll come back.
Yep.
You know? And now the Dodgers have this amazing fan base, like I said earlier, very multicultural and gigantic in the Latino community. So first pitch is coming up here in about 45 minutes. The Pukes from Idaho are in town. I'll try to be consistent on that. The Broncos, not the players, but the fans and some of the media, taking on the Rebels. It's a massive game. Boise is extremely arrogant. Their fan base are. They're going to the Pac-12. For some reason, they keep looking behind, or I guess next to them, with the people they divorced, and they prompted the divorce, and they want to bust chops with the Mountain West schools, and it's like, you're gone. Leave.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. Well, they've got a good team this year. I don't know if it's their best team ever. I'll say it's a great team. I think the Rebels are a good team and have the potential to be a great team. Both teams have a lot of strong elements. Like, first of all, you want to talk about groups on defense that could put pressure on a quarterback. Boise is number one in the country in sacks per game, averaging almost 5 sacks a game. By the way, that's double from last year. So, big improvement. UNLV also putting up much bigger numbers, and there's a reason behind that, I think, and that's and Odom said it. I'm not, you know, reinventing the wheel here. Michael Shear, the DC, Danny, last year was, you know, they had retooled the defense, but maybe not totally retooled. And if you're going to play this 3-3-5 or sometimes a 3-2-6, that last number is the defensive backfield. You want to bring some of those on the blitz, right? Some of those players.
Absolutely.
But then guess what? The other guys who are not putting pressure, they're going to be really good.
Yes.
Because they're going to be one-on-one a lot. And last year they just ran into a problem late in the season where they're like, we can't blitz as much as we want to. We can't bring 5 and 6 guys because the back end's having trouble. This defense has gotten better.
Enter Jalen Catalon. He's been fantastic. He's tied for the lead in interceptions. And this, him along with Woodard and obviously Ricky White and a couple others, but Catalon and Woodard specifically for me, I think is probably the best recruits that have come into UNLV in quite some time. And I mean, don't get me wrong, Ricky White, he's most likely going to play on Sundays. He's fantastic. Unfortunately for him, his position requires someone to get him the ball. However, Catalon and Woodard, they can make their impact by themselves. And it is amazing to see just how quickly Catalon has come into the team, and he's gotten an understanding of the playbook, and he's making an impact directly from week one and on. He's playing fantastic. It was a great pickup.
That's funny. He made a lot of good plays. He may have made his best play of the year in that Houston game where he rushed, tipped the ball in the air, caught his own tip, pick six. He's a really good player, and he comes with a pedigree. This is why the portal's great. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out at other stops. Sometimes you also just can't find the right mix to stay healthy,
yeah.
And he just wasn't healthy. And I had a lot of doubts coming into the season. Like, I thought he'd be, I don't know the kid personally, but you see a guy who's got injury issues, you're like, okay, well, maybe he'll develop into a guy who can be out there for 35 plays, a specialist. No, so far he's been healthy, and you can see why. He was as a freshman, on the All-SEC defensive team. That's no joke.
No, that takes a special talent to do that.
And he's made a big difference. I always remind people, Barry Odom was really smart in assessing the group that was left over by Marcus Arroyo and making sure that he kept, you know, 16, 18, 20 of the core players. And Jonathan Baldwin was one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's way up there. Cam Oliver, for some reason, didn't play the first quarter last week. And I asked after the game why, and I didn't really get an answer. I hope he's available all four quarters because he was an absolute difference maker in the defense against Oregon State. And it's those three guys, especially Baldwin, whether he's in run support or he's going to be used as a true cover safety, all three of those guys are massive. Like, we know about Woodard, but if they can't defend deep shots and they don't have eye discipline, anything, most of what they do with Genty, if they can bottle him up, it's not going to matter if Boise nails, you know, four or five deep shots. And last year they went for what? I think I have it on the rundown. It's like 32, 47-yarder. They had multiple, deep shots that connected.
Yep.
And then that opened up the run game.
Yeah.
And then the run game took over, and there was a play where Taylen Green, the quarterback, untouched for 70 yards. Chunk plays, I know you talked about it a lot on and Tyler did on the press box. That was a big problem last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was one of the things that Barry Odom said in the very first coaches show. We need to limit, because you're not going to eliminate, but you need to limit those big plays, whether it's over the top or through the run game. And so far, it appears that they've been able to do that relatively well this year. So now it's...
I mean, this is the team. This is what you rebuild your defense for, is to defend against one of the best running backs in the country and a team that will throw deep. And last year, I thought Boise came out and they're like, yeah, you may be able to slow down Genty. We're not even going to mess with it early. We're going to freaking set the tone and go over the top on you, and if you can't stop it, it's over.
Yeah, and one of the things for me tonight, because we've seen the UNLV defense, or not the defense, the UNLV team fall behind early in a few games this year, but they've been able to come back and get those wins outside of the Syracuse one. But again, we talked about refs to start the show. There was some bad reffing in that game. But we've seen UNLV fall behind, and then they're able to claw their way back in. Tonight, if they want to be able to limit Genty and get a win against Boise and make that run for the playoffs, they cannot fall behind. They cannot get off to a slow start. They have to be there, be ready to play, and hit them in the mouth, and they can't fall behind.
I'll give you I put together a list of 9 impactful players, and I'm missing a couple of guys. I'm missing a lot of guys in a game like this between two elite teams at the Group of Five level who, again, the setup for this game is Mountain West Conference Championship berth on the line. Either one of these teams can then run the table from here, they have a chance to get into the college football playoff, either in the 12-hole or maybe even higher. I think in the case of Boise, with the respect they get nationally, they actually could outrank the Big 12 champ at the end of the year, and that would mean a higher seed, which I have a feeling the voters won't let happen. But anyway,
no.
Most impactful players. Ashton Genty, 1. Ricky White, 2. Because of what Ricky White not only does at receiver, but special teams. He can change a game. I keep talking about the deep ball, and that means that Maddox Mattson, the Boise State quarterback, if he connects like Taylen Green did last year, then the Rebels are in real trouble. And so far this year, he's been pretty good, and he doesn't make mistakes.
Mm.
So he's at 16 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I've got Catalan, and then there's a guy to watch on Boise. I have to look up the number. I'm blanking on it now. I think he's not number 71. He's 271 pounds. Ahmed Hassanin. He's the first Egyptian to ever play college football. He just moved here in 2017. His brother was living in the United States and was coaching football in Southern California. And they had a discussion about football. This big fella, an end, was like, I want to play football. He's all right, come over. So he's got 8 sacks. He's got 15 hurries. He's the number 3 PFF rated defender on Boise State.
He's number 91.
Number 91. And then they've got a great end on the other side. And by the way, these guys play like some defensive ends. You'll see if you have between whatever low end 55 defensive snaps, high end, hopefully it's not like 80, but if it's in the 70s, they'll play like 60% of the time. This guy plays 51 plays a game, so he's out there most of the time, and both of the ends play a lot, and they're one of the big reasons for all that havoc with the almost five sacks per game. So keep an eye on him. The tackles for UNLV and anyone who's helping Chip, big night. Tiger Shank's been great. When I go over to the stadium, we're going to find out about the condition of Jalen St. John. Keep in mind, St. John went down in the Oregon State game. So we'll see if the starting left tackle can play the entire game. He's going to play it all. We'll get an update on the condition there. I got more keys to the game. Danny and I will break them down on the way back. Mark McMillan's going to check in. He's over at Allegiant Stadium. He'll be with us in about 15 minutes right here on Cofield & Company, live inside Treasure Island.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Boy, oh boy, Danny, you were right. Wild first period with VGK on Nevada Day. Ottawa in town. What's the score?
3-3. Was that 7 minutes left in the second?
It is 7 minutes left. All right.
It looks like a fun game. Yeah, I was watching it in the first period, and then they took it off my TV, so they put on the World Series game.
We're live here at the Golden Circle. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number, and there is an office in Northern Nevada. Okay. Yesterday we hit on this, and I yelled a lot at Griffin about Halloween. There was a dopey list that had the best cities for Halloween. And I say Vegas is in the top five. New Orleans, I think, is number one. And if you Vegas, especially for adult Halloween, this place is crazy. The costume parties and, you know, dirty costumes.
They do a lot of, like, drink parties, spooky drinks, and telling scary stories.
Mark McMillan had a picture earlier today. He had it looked like a very undersized Spider-Man costume. He said he has his costume. I don't think he can wear that one. Can you name anyone on the show who you think will dress up?
Let's see. Do co-hosts and everything?
It really can be a contributor. Do we go right to the female persuasion on the show? Could it be Nye? Could it be... By the way, I shorten everyone's name to, like, uncomfortable level. Like, anytime there's a Steven, I'm always like, Steve. Anyone who wants to be called Michael all the time, hey, Mike.
No, it makes sense.
I like that you're a Danny, because if you were Daniel, I would call you Danny.
It makes sense. Right. I feel like full names might be a little too professional.
Well, I guess the case here is we already have an issue with Alex White, because sometimes we'll be like, hey, guys. I'm like, Alex, not a guy. So calling her Al White wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't.
I have a feeling that Al might dress up. Maybe.
Okay. I don't really know her much. I've only talked to her twice. So
it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah. I feel like Griffin needs to dress up. Like, it should be a requirement.
I feel like he would. Don't you guys in the building have to dress up? There's a little bit of pressure to have a Halloween spirit. We're never in the building. So at Lotus, they kind of get into it.
Well, I won't be here for Halloween, so. I'll be dressing up elsewhere.
I don't think Willie would do it. I know Adam Hill will not do it.
John would.
Von Tobel?
Yeah.
I do it like 50% of the time. We got a little jammed up this Halloween, so I'm not going to do it. But my costumes are very lazy.
I was
going
to say,
I wait until the last minute. And, I mean, most of the time, and I can't fit into the Esso's outfits or dresses of the past, but if she has a wig... I'll be like, Al, just use this wig from 4 years ago, and I'll make something.
So you try to...
I just cobble together whatever is in the Halloween bins.
So you won't, like, think of something and be like, ooh, I got to go to the store and get this and this so that I can make my costume. It's whatever you got at the house.
That is generally the effort. Will be a discussion a month before. Actually, I think we had a discussion, like, 9 months ago. Like, hey, you should go as this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then a week before, we're like, we're not dressing up.
That's kind of how... That's kind of how it was with my fiance and my daughter. We were going to go as the three kids from Nightmare Before Christmas. And then we decided to change it. And I think my daughter is going as a witch. I don't know what my fiance is going as. And I'm just going to dress up as Max from Hocus Pocus.
I guess if you want to go, I mean, there's going to be some parties this weekend. It's horribly placed.
Yeah, it's weird. It's on a Thursday.
You need
it's
it closer to the weekend so that you can go to a party, you know, not have to get up the next day. Yeah, that's the other, you know,
it's a work
the other
day.
Thing, and I'm sure everyone out there is like, we need to know what Cofield is doing on Halloween. But normally we have friends who would hold a big Halloween party.
Uh-huh.
They moved.
Oh, no. So yeah. Now it's on you guys.
Can't do it.
They didn't pass the torch?
No. It's not going to happen. Christmas, though.
Are you a party host?
We used to be. Not so much anymore.
Okay. I don't like doing it.
I like doing it, and then I start shopping for it, and I'm like, oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I don't like doing it because...
This is costing a lot of money.
I'll get to that moment in the party where I'm like, all right, I want everyone to leave so I can relax.
Get out! Party's over!
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant Mark McMillan joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Let's go over to Allegiant Chef Mark on the scene. I know he just did his hit on 8 News Now a little while ago. Mark, it's Cofield. It's Danny. What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. I'm out here at Lot J outside in the parking lot, man, watching the tailgate. The energy is good. We got some tacos getting ready to come up. You know I got to be around for food. It's football Friday, baby. Let's go.
Wait, you're not. Are you making the food again, or can you just sit back and enjoy the food?
I am sitting back and enjoying the food right now.
It's
Lot J Tacos, man. This guy's at all the sporting events. So they got carne asada. They got quesadillas. They got burritos. They got it all. They got drinks. They got micheladas. But, you know, I can't have no micheladas, but I'm going to have some tacos.
I need a michelada when I get over there. I hope they're still open. I can work the sideline on one michelada. It's not that big a deal.
Well, come on over, man. They're here till like 6:30.
Beautiful. I'll be there in lickety split. I'll say that. You've been on a run here, man. You are working your you know what's off cooking lately. First of all, how did last week go at LVMS?
It went great. I had more people that showed up. Last year was probably about 20. This year was probably about 45 to 50 people. So it went really well. Shout out to my guy and the whole social media team for Las Vegas Motor Speedway. They did an amazing job, man, in taking me back. Q&A questions. So it was great, man. And I have opportunity to meet with Kyle Larson before the race and talk to his right-hand man, Jeff. So it was really cool, man. I'm all in with NASCAR. And everybody loved the ribs, man. The ribs went so fast, people started coming over, and they were pissed I didn't have more ribs left.
What's the plan for the food this weekend? You're going to be inside Mandalay Bay. These are the weeks. There's a 2 weeks a year where I'm like, Mark, I don't know if you like – I like you so much, bro, because you can play up to the former Chief background. I like you when you're a former Philly Eagle. But you've got a big cookout. Is that tomorrow at Flanker?
It's going to be tomorrow from 11 to 6. Me and Dana Hughes will be there at Flanker's inside Mandalay Bay. And then they're going to have a post-game party on Sunday after the game and before the game. So all weekend long, you're going to have the Grill McMillan menu. You got burnt ends. You got ribs. You got mac and cheese. You got apple cobbler all weekend long at Flanker's. And you know what? Nevada has no more Grill McMillan sauce. They bought up all my sauces in the valley.
Good for you, but bad for us.
Yeah.
I was thinking of throwing some of that into the mac and cheese. Or is the mac and cheese good enough that it stands on its own?
Oh, the mac and cheese stands on its own, man. It's got a nice little little bite to it. I think he uses like four or five different cheeses. Chef Michael over there at Flanker's. So he did a really good job, man. We had a really good demo that we promoted it. So, man, I'm just excited. And obviously, man, just this cooking thing is taking over. It's taking over, Steve. It's taking over.
Mark, I told you last Friday when you were on with us that I liked the way you were talking dirty to me about your ribs, and I got to say, I'm liking it again about the food with Flanker.
Oh my God, talking
dirty. Yeah, you got to get over to Flanker's, man. You got to get over there, and man, if you show up, man, I'll buy you a beer, man. I'll buy you a cold one on me, you know, just to show up and support, man. And it's not just Chief fans; it's Raider fans as well. They can come out and hang out, but. From where I started off, man, to now I'm having a menu at Mandalay Bay, Flanker's. Come on, man. from the gridiron to having an old menu for a weekend for one of the best rivalries in football, Chiefs and Raiders.
I'm going to get the Chiefs and Raiders here in less than 5 minutes, but you're over at Allegiant. You're getting ready for UNLV and Boise State. You're a big follower of Rebel football. I think a lot of this game comes down to the position you played, and that's the defensive backfield, because both teams have been a little bit leaky. Rebels are giving up over 278 in the air per game. Boise's a bottom five defense against the passer, like 304 yards. Are these teams ready to slow down the pass? Or are we going to see a freaking shootout in the air?
I think we might see a shootout tonight. Obviously, the corner is going to be on the island because you got to pack the box. You know, you can't let Jensen get off. You just cannot. I don't care what you do. You have to stop him and force that quarterback and those receivers to beat you on the outside. UNLV, obviously, man, they're just on a roll. You know, it seems like every week, you know, people are doubting them. But, man, this is a well-coached football team on both sides. And I'll tell you what, UNLV has a special teams advantage as well. Boise State is really bad at special teams. And UNLV is one of the tops in the nation, not to mention the young freshman kicker that UNLV has right now who leads the nation. How cool is that?
We first of all, that's awesome. We were talking about him earlier, and he's Chittenden is having a phenomenal year. Mark, one thing I wanted to ask you, and Steve and I just went through a list of players to watch for tonight, and one that wasn't on the list, it was in our notes, but it wasn't directly on the list, and he's actually a player to watch for me, Haj Malik Williams, not necessarily in the actual passing aspect, but with his brains and his feet, because he's going up against a Boise team that gets sacks. For me, it's how he's going to react to that pressure, being able to throw the ball away, making smart decisions. Who's a player for you to watch for tonight?
I would say De Jesus. You know, he's like the X factor on anything. Obviously, you know, Ricky White's going to get some double coverages. But I would say De Jesus, man, he is unguardable in that slot position. The young running back for UNLV will step up. So it's going to be a physical battle. And, you know, both teams are geared up for it. I'm excited for that matchup. But De Jesus is my guy, man, to look for. Then on the other side of Boise, I got to give my young boy some love, man. Kai Benefield. I'm actually with his dad right now, tailgating. We played together in JUCO. So he's a safety for Boise State, long-rangey kid. So look for him to be all over the field for Boise State on defense.
Yeah, he's good. Both of their safeties are good. They're both the highest-rated pro football-focused defenders on that Boise State team. All right, let's flip to Chiefs and Raiders. What do you make of the Chiefs' start? Listen, they're winning all their games. That's the ultimate goal. They haven't won a game by more than 13. They're 4-0 in one-score games. Are they ripe for an upset, or are they ready to turn the corner and kind of take off here and really start winning in dominant fashion?
Well, like I said, Pat's had, you know, he's been having some patchwork doing with his receivers, losing Pacheco, getting Hunt back on the squad has helped him out tremendously. I think he's averaging like almost 80 to 90 yards a game. He scored like 4 or 5 touchdowns, so he's good. Kelce is just kind of flying under the radar. They bring over Hopkins from the Titans. So you know, he has some weapons, but like I said, I don't think they're ripe for an upset. Obviously, this rivalry warrants upset. They went to Arrowhead last year and had a big time upset, so it should be a good game, man. But Andy Reid, like I said, statistically, Pat doesn't look as like, you know, his old self, but I tell everybody, last 2 years the Chiefs have been winning on defense. Spags has got that defense rolling, and you know, you've got some McDuffie is a really good corner. Obviously you got Jones in the middle who's just wrecking chop. So I know who's going to show up for the Raiders, and that's Max Crosby. I guarantee he's going to show up. Everybody else, I don't know.
The I'm sorry. I completely forgot my question after that one.
It's all right.
No.
He's tracking us up. Mark McGowan's with us. Former Eagle, former Chief, Saint, Niner. Now the Commies, formerly the Redskins. Mark, how often did the Eagles, and maybe even the Chiefs, because of the Chiefs-Raiders rivalry, actually use bulletin board material where it worked, where another team was talking trash, because obviously AP threw out the Mahomes rules, and then some fan brought out a Kermit puppet, and they were all laughing about Pat Mahomes' dopey voice. How often during your career do you remember like something like that actually worked? The team got all fired up, or coach got you all fired up?
Oh, all the time. All the time. You know, see, back in those days, man, you just have to find every little edge, whether it's the Cowboys saying, you know, our defense is better than the Eagles' defense, or whether they're saying Art Monk is going to work over me and Eric Allen. So there was always bulletin board material that you can use. And obviously, you know, with the puppet that came out with Pat, don't think they don't remember that, you know. So I'm sure Andy Reid probably got some kind of wacky offensive play that he's going to use to try to embarrass the Raiders just a little bit, just to kind of get back at them for a little offseason trash that they were talking.
Just a minute ago, you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins, and we've seen newly acquired players be able to make impacts before. I mean, the Raiders saw it, I believe it was 2 years ago when they had to face Baker Mayfield in L.A. on very short notice. Do you see Hopkins being able to not be an amazing player, but impact the game enough that the Raiders should keep an eye on him throughout the game?
He's that kind of receiver. He's definitely a possession receiver. He's one of the best hands in the league. He's been on the show for, the last 2 years. So, you know, it's not like he has a lot of tread on his tires. He doesn't have to come in and be a superstar in that offense. You know, he doesn't have to go out and catch 10 to 15 balls or go for 150 to be successful in that offense. And you see Patrick Mahomes, what he's able to do with just guys coming off the street. So just imagine, you know, how happy he is just having a Hopkins, knowing that he's going to be reliable, probably use him in the slot a little bit. But the way Pat plays the game, man, I think me and Steve can go out there and run around. He can hit us.
I assume you are 100% Dodgers in this game, Dodgers and Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
World Series first pitch here in 15.
Yes. I am so excited, man. California is just on fire right now. And what two better teams? You can't ask for two better markets. Obviously, they have the highest payrolls, but the Dodgers, you got Ohtani, you got Soto, you got Bet, you got Judge. There is so many headlines for this matchup, and there's a lot of California kids on both teams playing in L.A., so it's going to be a great series. I am pulling for the Dodgers. Hopefully we can win one for the great late Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah, you got to see it. They got his number on the mound. His family's out there. There's flower. They got a, you know, out on the sign in the back of the stadium. There's flowers everywhere. So it's a big deal. They're going to start the national anthem here. Yeah, we're stoked, man. We're stoked. I got to say I'm rooting for the Yankees, though. Sorry, longtime Yankee fan. So we're opposed on this one. Sorry,
you
Mark.
You just threw that in there.
I have to with you. I don't want to sound, you know, it's like I'm, you know, I sound like I'm too much of a Dodger fan. I'm not in this case. Mark, in the stadium. I'll see you in a little bit on the sidelines. Should be a good one tonight.
All right, man. Just let me know if you're coming by for that michelada, man, or some carne asada tacos. Let's go.
Man, I need one postgame. The tacos I need pregame, but I need one postgame. See you, Mark.
All right, brother.
Mark doesn't even know. I am a michelada junkie.
Really?
Well, I love them.
Yeah.
In our Broadcaster Bites podcast, Caleb Herring, who's going to be on the game tonight, one of the voices of the Rebels. This is cheesy, but he never had them before. So a couple times on the road, I'm like, dude, you got to get this beer. It's awesome.
How do we not go to get one in El Paso last year?
You know, I don't remember why. I probably did. Maybe you didn't, but I think I did.
Well, because we went to get Mexican food the night we flew in.
I might have had one that night. I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm all over.
Big miss.
I actually I tested the limits of what the human body can do in processing micheladas. I love the all inclusives. So we went one of the all inclusive trips we made to Mexico a couple weeks ago. I was mixing. I was not thinking at all. My two favorite drinks are micheladas, and ready for this? Don't vomit. Mudslides.
I don't know if I've ever had a mudslide.
I mixed them together.
Oh, it doesn't
my
sound
good. My
stomach
is an iron belly. Nothing gets me. That is a mix you don't want to do. All right, we're going to watch the national anthem here with, who is that, Brad Paisley, big flag on the field, World Series coming up, then UNLV and Boise right around the corner.